that I'm about to preach is the most important message to the church today as far as holding on to God and lifting your head up, doing the will of God, and knowing who you are. Thank you, sir. I want you to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of St. Matthew. The fourth chapter of the book of St. Matthew. I want to preach on the temptation of Christ. The temptation of Christ. Using up a lot of batteries tonight, aren't I? I appreciate the message of the brother tonight as he preached. And when I get through here tonight, Brother Max, you know I agree with you 100%. Hallelujah. Let's read it. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward anhungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I want you to raise your hand and pray for us that the Lord will help us to preach this tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, your people are here. God, your presence is in this service. The Word of God has been read numerous times already. Thank you for the songs of Zion. Those songs, Lord, that causes you to think and blesses you and helps you. I want to thank you for it. Lord, I ask you to give us the words to speak, for it's in Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. I want to preach on temptation, the temptation of Christ. And if the devil was brazen enough to tempt the Son of God, he's going to work on you and I. The devil, I think, is lifted up too high in our services when he doesn't have that kind of power. Amen. Now, I want you to keep it in your mind that when I'm preaching tonight, I'm mostly referring to the church and not to this outside world that the devil is ruining by the millions. You ruined men and women strewn on the path of life. And that's so pitiful And I think of my loved ones when I say that. When I go home and I see the conditions, I think about my people are so pitiful. They cannot help themselves. They're in the throes of Satan. They're bound by his power. Amen. But I want you to know that Jesus says, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Glory. How many of us are in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. The prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. And I want you to know Satan hath nothing in the church. Listen to me tonight. Yes, we're tempted. But to be tempted is not sin. But to yield to that temptation is when the sin comes. When you go to agree with the devil and the things that he shows you becomes more and more beautiful all the time that he's talking to you. How many knows what a cold shoulder is? You know what a cold shoulder... Has anybody ever give you a cold shoulder? They completely ignore you. They don't even act like they see you. They can pass you in their automobile. You can wave. They'll keep looking straight on. You know they saw you. That's a cold shoulder. That's what we call them down in Alabama. Oh, blessed be God. I'll praise and glorify the day when the church of the living God learns how to give Satan a cold shoulder. Hallelujah. Oh, but somebody said, Brother Ben, the devil is powerful. Give me scripture. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. Neither is he omnipresent. He's got a lot of thoughts that he can shoot through your mind, and a lot of demons of hell that will try to trip you up. But Satan himself is not omnipotent and omnipresent or omniscient. He don't know everything. If some of you wouldn't open up your big old mouth, he wouldn't even know that what he's doing to you even troubled you. Hallelujah! Glory to God. I never have heard the like in some testimony services that lifts up the devil and gives him praise, actually, of what he done that day and how they were tripped and so on and so forth. That's the reason I say this is one of the most important messages for the church today. The devil cannot do it to you if you will resist him. The Bible said to resist the devil and he will flee from thee. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh unto thee. You play with the devil all day long in your mind. That's where the battlefield is. Right there, that's where the battlefield is. But you can resist him and said, you don't have any part with the church. Hallelujah. I don't know. Some of you may fall out with me before I get through here tonight. I'm going to stay with the scripture of the Lord helping me. Hallelujah. I want to know how many of you has ever been taken by the arm. Come here, Brother Junior. And ever forced to do something. Lead you right up to a picture show and shove you right in the door. How many of you has Satan done you like that? Now what he does, he begins to talk to you. Hallelujah. He begins to tempt you. And if you yield to it, you think it ain't too much to what he's trying to bargain with you about. If you don't mind out, you're going to be saying, Oh, Yeah. Oh. But if you, I don't even believe the devil knows what we're even thinking. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh God, help us tonight, Lord. I thought when I was a young Christian, when I first read through the Bible, and I read this scripture here, I says, ooh. You know, I thought it was Jesus going to the wilderness like this. I want to ask you a question. If you was Satan, who would be the last person on earth that you would want to see? The devil knew Jesus. He knew him. He lived with Jesus in heaven for an unknown period of time. I don't know, hundreds, thousands, millions of years. Sister Faye, the devil never saw Christ one time rebuff his Father. Never one time was he disobedient to his heavenly Father. He humbly obeyed his heavenly Father every time he spoke. I know he did, because he said, the things that I speak to you here on earth, I've already heard them in heaven. The things that you hear me speak, said the Father has already spoken them to me. He preached every sermon that he was supposed to preach. He walked down every troubled road. He comforted every troubled heart that he was supposed to while he was here in this old world. Oh, glory! Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God. Here was the devil. And I tell you, he showed his cowardice in the very beginning, where the Bible says that after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, here he come. Why didn't he come before Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights? Don't you think you'd be real hungry if you fasted 40 days and 40 nights? And those stones that the devil pointed to was those little round stones on those Judean hills. And they favored those little loaves that those women in that land baked in their oven. And the devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn those stones to bread. I suppose Jesus could have done it. But I don't believe Jesus had to do that to prove that he was the Son of God, because the devil knew he was the Son of God. The devil knew he was the sinless Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. I tell you what, whenever Jesus looked at that bread, at those stones, and what hinged on this is, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But Jesus reached back in the book of Deuteronomy and he got that scripture in Deuteronomy. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When the devil is coming the hardest, take your book, open the book, read the Bible, get something, hallelujah, thank God, that will feed your soul and give you the strength to overcome every temptation. Hey folks, you just can't go day on in without taking the book out and thinking about the book, meditating upon the Word of God day and night. Oh, you're talking about a strong Christian. You show me one that loves God's Word. No, don't read it to argue. Don't read it to try to prove somebody wrong. You take it out just like you're breaking bread. Hallelujah to God. Does it happen to you like it happens to me? I can be reading it and something will stop me and something will jump out at me that never has had my attention just like it was being done right now. Oh, that's the bread, my brother. That's your livelihood. That's your survival is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want this whole world to feel sorry for me because I'm a Christian and I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm one, and the older I get, the more I appreciate being a Christian. The more wicked this old world becomes, the more thankful and grateful I was that when I heard the voice of God when I was just a boy, God helped me to yield to the call of God. And I moved on out, and God saved me. I live till next April. I'll be 50 years old in the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to say I've been in the way 50 years. I hope I've been some help all these 50 years. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, saints, I want every one of you to look at me. I love you. And I'm for you. I'm against the devil that's after your soul. Don't you hate him whenever he can get with our young people that's trying to live for God. They're not as strong as some of us older Christians are. And when the devil puts in his fangs and begins to tear. Oh, I've seen many a one of our young people, amen, that has been torn and wrecked by sin. Oh, God. No, they don't hardly know unless God will give them the power to realize what's happening. And many times, they don't even know what's happening until they're in it. I hate him. When I see people backsliding and going back on God, I hate him. Somebody says, Brother Ben, you better be careful preaching on the devil and his temptations. He might hop on you, but all he can hop is what God allows him to hop. And if I've been covered with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have been forgiven, there is no demon possession with God's people in God's church. Hallelujah. Brother, if the devil could get through here where that blood is, when he got through, he'd be saved. That's the reason I feel like it's impossible, because the devil cannot be saved. So therefore, I cannot be devil possessed. I don't believe the devil can even touch you if God doesn't give him the go ahead. Hey, every one of us has had tough times in our Christian experience, right? Amen. Has God's grace been sufficient? I look at Job, and he didn't even know what went on between God and him. Didn't even know what the conversation was. Here he was, a fella trying to walk uprightly and to be honest. Amen. And all of a sudden, things begin to happen in his life. Four messengers come within 20 minutes probably, and told him the devastating things that had happened. Thieves had come, murderers had come, and the storm had come and taken all of his children, all 10 of them. You see this righteous, holy man walking away from 10 mounds. That day as he went home, oh God, no, Joe wasn't past shedding tears. But I want you to know, hallelujah, he had enough grace to say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I get ashamed of myself sometimes when I think about the life of Job. Job told us in his writings there in the book of Job, he said, he hath taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. All I can visualize is some raggedy doll that somebody would take and shake until one arm went one way and keep shaking and another arm go another way and a foot or whatever. God set him up. I reckon it was the high water mark. I don't know of a Christian that has lost 10 children at one time. I don't know of any man living on the earth, hallelujah, never read any history of any man that went through what Job went through. And even those friends that came, oh yeah, every once in a while they'd say something good, but usually they'd wind up some way else. You know, I haven't did this all of my Christian life. When I found out over there in the last part of the book of Job what kind of comforters these guys was, miserable comforters, I'd skip through the book of Job. And when it said I don't know some of these guys' names, but anyway, I'd turn over him, I'd turn old past him, his chapter or two chapters, and I'd get to where, and Job says, and that is what I loved. I'd read what Job said. When I got to where another one of those miserable comforters, and so-and-so said, I turn it over until we got rid of him, and it got to where, and Job said. Y'all forgive me, will you? I've read what these other fellas said, and I've learned about all I want to learn from them. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, God is on our side. The church, he's for us. Did you know the Bible says, glory to God, that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Glory to God. The Bible said to resist the devil and he'll flee from thee. Oh yeah, three strikes and you're out, isn't it? Four balls you walk is when I used to play ball. And well, this is one strike. Strike one. So the devil taketh him up into the holy city, sitteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Well, he said, if Jesus quoted scripture, I believe I'll quote a little bit. And he reached back in the 91st chapter of the book of Psalm, and he began to read a little bit. He said, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Brother Kevin, turn to that scripture in the 91st chapter of the book of Psalms. I don't know exactly the verse to start, but you can find it pretty quickly. And I want I want to read the first line of this scripture here, and then I want you to read the first line. You got it? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Hallelujah. Glory. It's on down, I think, into the chapter. All right, start reading it. Just stand right there. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee. That sounds pretty good so far. All right. Read the next line. Huh? Wait a minute. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall. The devil left out a little passage. What did that little passage say? He shall keep thee in all of thy ways. From the top, one commentator said, from the top of that pinnacle down to the valley below was 700 feet. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down. This would be a wonderful day to display your sonship. All right, read the rest of it, brother. They shall bear thee up in their hands. That sounds pretty good. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. But there's a whole lot of difference in bashing your foot against a stone and getting it hurt than to sail 700 feet and that'd be it. What did Jesus say? Glory. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How many of you've got the Holy Ghost here tonight? You have the Holy Ghost? Amen. Do you know we can't live carelessly? We can't get out here on the highways and go 100 and 120 miles an hour just because we got the Holy Ghost. We think, well, the Lord's going to take care of me here. Yeah? You can't get out there in the middle of a railroad track and the Amtrak coming and says, but God, I got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm trusting God and I'm going to show this old world where I stand with God. You know what's going to happen to me? Is when that Amtrak gets here, it's going to say, and that'll be it. God don't want you to tempt Him. God doesn't want you to prove that you're a Christian. You can go on the job and not say a word, and those men will know that you're different from the rest of the crowd on the job. You don't have to do anything crazy to show this old world that you're a Christian and that you're a child of God. My. All of you knows Brother Ralph Cox. I heard him say years ago, he said, folks, he said, there's several preachers in Oklahoma that don't believe in going to storm cellars. When those, he said, we live in tornado country. He said, as Brother Ralph, only Brother Ralph can say it. He said, I don't care what they believe, whether they believe it or not. If I see a storm coming, get out of my way. I'm a going in that hole. That'd be about like the Amtrak. See that tornado coming and twisting across the country? Well, I'm just going to stay out here and just trust God. Yeah, you're going to trust God, all right, if it keeps coming toward you. Yeah, it's good to trust God. It's good to put your trust in Him. But God don't want you to tempt Him. Did you know in the Old Testament about 10 times the children of Israel charged with tempting God? They tempted me in the wilderness. They tempted God in the wilderness. Don't do things that you know that angers God, that puts God against you, His face against you. Don't do things that just blatantly goes against God's word and say, I'm going to get by with it. You're tempting God. Don't tempt Him. Hey, that's strike two. Two strikes. No balls. And by the way, that came out of Deuteronomy 2. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Strike three. Sit down now, Brother Jim. Thank you. You felt like biffing the devil a few times, hadn't you? Yeah, I have too. Hallelujah. And I have biffed him in certain ways. Hallelujah. When I looked at him and told him, I'm going to live for God. Live, die, sink, or swim. I'm going to live for God. Oh, well, Brother Ben, aren't you scared to be talking to the devil like that? Well, who are we? Who are we? We're the church. Now he's going to move the world around. He moved them around in their positions and so on and so forth, to where he can destroy families and destroy children, the children right along with them. I tell you, the devil is a cruel devil. And when he gets in your home, he don't know when to quit. And I know there's a lot of scriptures about the devil that I haven't got time to read to you tonight. Hallelujah. Here come the devil walking in the garden. By the way, he had 4 feet and legs. Hallelujah. But I want you to know, when he deceived Eve and Adam, when he got in line to come forth before God for his judgment, he told the devil, he says, from now on, you're not going to walk like the cattle of the field any longer, but your legs is going to be taken from you, and you're going to walk on your belly. You're going to crawl on your belly, and dust shalt thou eat. What are you, sister? Dust. What are you, brother? Dust. How many clods of dust as he consumed and destroyed just this weekend already? How many is he working on right here in this service tonight? Amen. He don't mind it leading you off or down the wrong road. He don't mind leading you down a road that you can never come back again. Yeah, old John saw him and called him that old serpent, Satan. Hallelujah. What was the first messianic promise? What was the first one? God told the devil, says, the seed of the woman, hallelujah, will be against you. You're going to bruise that seed's heels, but he's going to bruise your head. Hallelujah. That's right. When did he do it? How do you kill a snake anyway? Step on his tail? Huh? Well, the middle of him's a little bit bigger. Step on the middle of him. But if you can get your heel or your shoe on his head, or a hoe handle or something, or a big old rod or something right down on his head, and just start screwing it. Oh yeah, he's still alive out yonder. Here he goes. But I want you to know that you're screwing on, you're doing some heavy damage. Come on now. I believe in my lifetime as a Christian, I've had my foot on his head at times. Glory, I'm part of the seed of the woman. You know that old booger will wiggle all day long out there. He's dead as he can be. He don't know he's dead, but he's dead. Yeah. That old tail will wiggle. You go out there and punch it, he'll wiggle around until the sun goes down. Hallelujah. And that's about all the power he's got against the church. His real mechanism was hindered when Jesus died on the cross. Hallelujah. He was powerful enough to redeem Barabbas if he'd have just called on the Lord after being a murderer. Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for this wonderful Jesus. Thank God that has won the victory. Hallelujah. How does the children of God overcome? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's not very much, is it? Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've had to have a testimony out all by myself and just tell the devil what God done for me. Hallelujah. He forgot about tempting me any longer. Hallelujah. I know that God has the power and God has the grace for His church. Doesn't He pull some shenanigans in the house of God? He'll come and sit on the shoulder of a child of God here and say, look over yonder. So and so don't like you. Bible said He is the accuser of the brethren. He'll accuse you to a good child of God in the church. Oh, my friend. Yeah, I could give you some examples that would be pretty. Amen. You know, when I was a young Christian, when I was a young preacher, when I'd get to preaching and I'd get up and see somebody get up and go out of the church, first thing I'd think of is they don't like my preaching. And sometimes I'd throw a few choice sentences just as they went out. And come to find out that one of those individuals was very sick. And they had to go home. I said, God, give me some sense. Oh, God. Oh, how many little things. The majority of church problems is caused by little things. Misunderstandings. I wish we all loved one another big enough to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Now that wasn't just like it appeared. And along with the help of the devil, he'll make it look a little worse than what it really is. Strike three. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Hallelujah. Yeah, when he struck out, he had to go back to the dugout. That's right. For a season. Jesus struck him out. Hallelujah. And Jesus is still victor. Hallelujah. And the church is still victor. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. You're somebody, children of God, and you're going somewhere. You're born again. You're the son of God. Hallelujah. You've been become an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're one of His. You're part of the body of Christ. Glory to God. And you are victorious. Hallelujah. Oh no. Oh no. The devil just can't barge in and put his hand on you, snatch you around. You've got to have the permission of our Heavenly Father before He can do that. Hallelujah. Oh God. I hope you're understanding me tonight. Oh, God. Glory. I want the church here tonight to stand. And I want you to raise your hand and thank God for the victory over the devil. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't have to prove that we're the Son of God. We don't have to prove that we're Christians. Oh, glory. glory, glory, glory. God, I pray that you would bless, give your people strength and courage. Help those that need help. Strengthen those, Lord, that need your strength. Lift up those that are cast down, Lord, and help them to realize who they are and where we're going.